Well, here we are, Gene Phelps.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the first time, I haven't been on a show like this with you since the day you worked in high school sports.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a while, but here we are. This is Prep Rally. If you're just joining us, it's going to be a new podcast here at the Daily Journal. Of course, we have the Memo podcast, and we have double coverage, the Ole Miss and MSU podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. And what we're doing now is this podcast called Prep Rally. Now, obviously, we're doing a video cast right now, which we may do every week as well, in addition to the podcast, dual broadcast kind of thing. But if you don't know, a little quick inside baseball, to get a podcast, actually, for it to become a podcast, you have to submit it to iTunes, and you have to have at least one episode in the bag before you do that. So that's why we're coming to you exclusively via video today. But again, I'm Brad Locke, online editor for the Daily Journal. Gene Phelps, senior writer.
Yeah, watch that senior stuff.
Yeah, well, I just turned 40. I can't talk much.
There now. You go. AARP card coming your way.
Yeah, yeah. What we're going to do every Wednesday is we'll talk high school sports.
And, that sounds good. I'll bring my pom-poms next week. For the prep rally.
As long as you don't wear your cheerleader uniform, Gene, I'll be fine. You can find the show. The show has a Twitter handle. It's @DJournalPreps, @DJournalPreps. And, of course, we've got the prep blog, NemissPreps.com. It's NEMISSPreps.com. Brandon Speck and others constantly updating that with news and whatnot. So, Gene, let's get into it, man. We got plenty of stuff to talk about, a lot of football to talk about. State championships coming up this weekend in Oxford. We'll get to that in a moment. First, I wanted to talk about the new Moorville head football coach, John Keith, offensive coordinator for Tupelo High the past 3 years under Trent Hammond.
Right. And
before that, he was with Trent at Amory.
He was with Trent at Amory, and he also served in that same capacity there. Offensive coordinator. And, John Keith played football at Moorville. He was a lineman. Sure. He wasn't a defensive back or anything. John's a pretty big fella.
Yeah.
And this is John's one of these guys you wondered when was he going to move out and become a head coach.
Yeah.
And I guess the right opportunity was to go home, go to Moorville. That's what he said when he made the change just earlier this week. And, he wants to go home. That's where he'd like to coach. And, I think it'll work out well for him there.
Anybody who's followed high school football around here in recent years knows that those Trent Hammond teams at Amory and the ones at Tupelo have a history of being really prolific on offense.
They can, and Hammond's more of an old Big Ten type guy. He likes to run the ball and everything. And John likes to air it out a little more. But they do. They adapt to what they've got.
Sure.
And they adapt to the personnel. So it'll be interesting to see what John does in his first season there at Moorville. He's got a young quarterback coming up. And I'm sure he's looking forward to working with him. And I expect Moorville to put some points on the board.
Yeah. Let's be honest. You think about Moorville football. Now, Kevin Austin did a great job.
He did.
Him in the playoffs for the last 5 years. But still, when you think Moorville football, you don't necessarily think scoring a lot of points.
Right.
You don't think a ton of athletes per se.
No.
But you think more like
correct.
Good running backs, good offensive or defensive linemen. So kind of curious what he can bring to the table in the early going.
Yeah, I believe you'll see a lot of things from him. I think you'll see a little they've run a little bit of everything there at Tupelo High School. I think you'll see a lot of spread, a lot of trips, bubble screens. I think they'll throw it vertical if they can.
Yeah.
John does a lot of things. He had to adapt this year when they lost their quarterback for 3 games.
Yeah, Bristow,
And they went to more of a running style. They just adapt. John's very good at adapting to his personnel. I tell you what, another coaching change I wanted to mention before we went on into the playoffs was someone who's stepping down and retiring from that T-plus staff is Lamar Aldridge.
Really?
Yes, after 29 years of coaching, Lamar. Wow. I was talking to Lamar. I'm writing something on him later this week for Friday's paper. He's always been an assistant coach. He was the interim coach for 3 games when Eric Collins was let go.
Yep. Remember that?
I'm trying to remember what year it was. It doesn't matter, 2008, maybe something like that. And he went 2-1. But Lamar has been an assistant coach at Tupelo. He's made two stops in Tupelo. He's been at Pontotoc. He was at Olive Branch 1 year with Jamie Mitchell when Jamie was there. And he coached at Shannon. I think he started out at Shannon. He was a GA for 1 year at Delta State, where he played football for Red Parker years ago and was a team captain there. Yeah. But, yeah, Lamar Aldridge didn't want to let the week go by without acknowledging, you know, he's been around for nearly 30 years in the coaching business and most of it in this area.
Yeah, when I was here at the Journal, the first beat I covered, so to speak, at the Journal was Tupelo High football back in 04. And Lamar was defensive coordinator, I believe, at that time. Eric Collins had just come in, and Lamar was a holdover, I think, from Phil Ferguson's staff.
He was actually hired by Ferguson, but the first year he coached like with the ninth grade team and was supposed to move up. Then Collins came in and moved him on back up to the varsity staff.
Yeah, so Lamar, a good guy. Real soft-spoken. It was all kind of sometimes.
He's a great guy.
Getting a quote out of him was like getting blood from a turner, but he's a really good guy.
Yeah. He's kind of old school, and it's hard to say old school when he's 10 years younger than I am. But anyway, from a coaching standpoint, but he's a good coach, and just wanted to make sure folks knew that he was stepping down too. Yeah.
Look for that story in Friday's Journal then, and at djournal.com. Okay, Gene, let's get to the big stuff happening this weekend at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. State championships. We've got three teams involved, Oxford, East Webster, and Starkville. Trying to go back and find the schedule. Here we go. Three games Friday, three games on Saturday. On Friday, the action kicks off at 11 o'clock with the 1A game, Simmons against Resurrection. Then the 2A game to follow, that's East Webster against Bassfield at 3. This is the 6A game that night, Starkville against Petal at 7 o'clock, I believe.
Right.
Saturday, 3A. Charleston and Collins at 11, Noxby County against St. Stanislaus at 3 in the 4A final. And in 5A, capping off the weekend, Oxford in its hometown playing Wayne County. That's some good-looking matchups there.
And that's Johnny Hill's final game.
Johnny Hill, let's talk about Johnny Hill, former Tupelo coach. He's been in Oxford
Johnny
for
was
a while.
Here for 4 years in Tupelo.
Yeah,
and did a good job. He just got a chance to go back to Oxford, and I think his heart was always there. And you know, he made the move back. I think he's been there 19 years total, I think 14 maybe on this last.
And his Chargers have been one of the best teams in the state this year. I don't know if it's his best team he's ever had, Gene. I wouldn't have as good a handle on that as you, the senior writer. But it's easily probably a top three or four team for him.
Well, Johnny's always had good teams, but they're so prolific this year. I asked him the other day, I said, my goodness, Johnny, you've been in this business long enough to know that passing for 2,000 yards used to be a big deal. And now he's got Jack Abraham thrown for like 4,500 yards this season.
And he's got
and 53 touchdowns.
And he's got a ton of weapons. DK Metcalf, who's some of the other guys?
They've got the Presley. Ken Presley's a wonderful receiver. They're loaded with receivers. And I'll tell you what, they got a good offense. And like Johnny said, Abraham doesn't have all those numbers, and he doesn't have the touchdowns if he's sitting on the ground. And they have certainly blocked really well for him and allowed him to throw the ball. He's a Tulane commitment, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there now that Tulane has let their coach go. So.
That's true. Playing Wayne County on Saturday night, Wayne County is always in the mix. What do you see from this matchup? Johnny Hill said, we're going to have to score in the 40s or 50s to beat them. You kind of foresee that kind of game?
I think so. I think it's going to be high scoring. I mean, Oxford's been in high scoring games all year, and they've let some points be scored. So, I mean, I think that's going to be one of those games that we might even see go into overtime.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Especially on deadline Saturday night.
Of course, it probably will then. 7 o'clock Saturday night, Oxford against Wayne County. That's going to be a fun game, a lot of fun games. Looking at the let's go ahead and look at the 2A game, East Webster and Bassfield. Had a good story in there today about their contrasting offenses. Bassfield runs that old wing T, which to me is one of the most fun offenses to watch. And then you've got East Webster, more of a spread option, zone read kind of thing.
Yeah, they do, and they're both equally effective. From East Webster's standpoint, the head coach's son, Doug Wilson, his son Jack, runs the offense, and he's really an operator. He knows what he's doing. The offensive coordinator down there told me that he just kind of lets Jack do his thing, and he trusts him to make that read. And he said even when we go to our power sets, he still has the option of pulling the ball out and keeping it, making a play. And, you know, in that offense, you've got that constant threat. You either got that running back or Wilson, who's rushed for 1,000 yards, keeping the ball. They can throw a bubble screen off of it, which they do quite a bit, and very effective. And what's kind of unique about this is while Doug Wilson's the head coach, he's the defensive coordinator, so to speak. So he doesn't really have to handle and deal with his son. And he says that's kind of good. Yeah, he said that is good. Good for both of them. But anyway, that East Webster offense, they're very – very methodical.
Yeah.
They don't make a lot of mistakes. And they just try to beat you to the point of attack on a lot of things. Then you clash, you got Bassfield, and they're running that wing T. And to me, it kind of reminds me a lot of the fakes and execution. It reminds me a lot of the old Notre Dame box and stuff. Yeah. You got those wing backs slotted in, and one of them's always in motion, and one of them may be going in a counter type move, and it's and everybody's faking like they have the ball.
Yeah, it's just so much fun to watch. I was in North Carolina after college. My first job as a full time reporter was up there, and there was this tiny little school up there that in the county where the newspaper was. We covered them. They were one of the best teams in the state in their classification. And they ran that wing T just about to perfection. And they would throw the ball maybe 5 times a game and usually would complete 4 of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you're not looking for it. Yeah. But it's just so much fun to watch. And it's got to be just a booger to prepare
for. I'll draw back on my age here a little bit. I worked in Hattiesburg at the start of my career. We covered Bassfield. Bassfield was in our coverage area. And I had a coach there named Howard Willoughby. And he ran the wing T.
Yeah.
So it's kind of been going on there. I know they've moved in and out of it with different coaches over the years, but it's always kind of been something that's there.
Yeah.
And it's a tradition for them. Lance Mancuso, the new coach there, he's been there a couple of years, had said that he was a wing T guy himself.
Right.
And he said he knows they've been in the spread before and they've done some other things. But they like that wing T. And they usually have the athletes down there to run that.
And, you know, you think about football dynasties in Mississippi. You think about South Panola, obviously. But Bassfield is going for its 4th consecutive state title.
Right. And I believe it's 6th or 7th overall.
So you want to talk about dynasties, I mean, in 2A.
Yeah.
It's Bassfield. And that right there, I don't know how much that plays into the heads of the East Webster players. But, I mean, they've blown out their last 3 title game opponents.
Right. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be tough. But I think East Webster's up to the challenge.
Yeah.
I really do.
East Webster's always good.
I've seen East Webster play a team, Hollandale Simmons, in the playoffs last year and beat them. And Hollandale Simmons was a lot more athletic and a lot quicker and everything. And you know, if East Webster can get it going and not get behind, they can hang right there with them.
Yeah. And the other game involving an area team, Starkville and Peddle, that is the 6A game on Friday night. Ricky Woods, first year at Starkville, and, of course, he's back in the state championship game. That's all he knows how to do.
You know what? You look at Ricky Woods and you don't think football coach.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just – and Ricky's demeanor is not when you see him in public. Now, he might be a little different on the practice field. Obviously, he earns the respect of his players, and he does a fantastic job. I mean, the guy himself has won 6 state championships, 4 at South Panola and 2 at Ackerman, and he's won 1 out of state, I believe, in Tennessee when he was coaching there. So, I mean, this guy wins wherever he goes.
Yeah.
He came into a great situation at Starkville now. There's some good players.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Mitchell did a really good job.
And
Jamie won state a couple years ago, didn't he?
He did, 2012.
Yeah, that's when it was.
With a really good team. But they've got A.J. Brown, who's probably one of the top receivers in the region, I think. Yeah. Maybe one of the best players in the state.
Yeah.
And that team's just loaded. I know they lost their quarterback from last year, the kid that went to Memphis. I can't remember his name, but they've replaced him with a really good player, this Montero Montgomery. He's passed 2,600 yards. You know, they haven't stopped.
Yeah.
Ricky Woods came in, got all that talent, and he's got them in the championship game. They won 13 games. Peddle's got its work cut out.
Yeah. I think Petal, it was Madison Central. They had to come back and beat late last week.
No, Madison was in the North. I'm trying to remember who Petal. They had to come back and beat Meridian. That was a big win.
Not Madison, Meridian.
That's a big win.
It was a close game.
And
came down to the wire.
And they beat a good Brandon team. I saw Brandon play Tupelo earlier this year and beat Tupelo. Yep. And they beat Brandon. So they've got some quality wins in the playoff. Marcus Broyles is the coach. I don't know if you remember that name from Wayne County.
Sure do. And I remember covering his Wayne County team against West Point back in 05, I guess it was. West Point won the title.
There's another guy that just wins.
Yeah, just wins. Wherever he goes. Well, Gene, they're playing these games again in Oxford. First time they're holding the state championships here, holding them in Oxford. Used to be in Jackson every year, and the old Veterans Stadium, which is really old.
Yeah,
and they finally moved it. Went to Starkville last year, played at Davis Wade, going to play at Vaught-Hemingway.
Right.
And it seemed like people enjoyed the experience last year.
They are. And I think everybody tries to one-up everybody. The city of Oxford, and I'm sure the university over there, are trying to maybe one-up Mississippi State last year. Excuse me, in Starkville. I do know Oxford set up something. They're going to feed the teams pregame meals.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
They're going to bus them over, let them make the walk of champions through the Grove, which again is nice. And excuse me, I got a cough.
That's all right,
allergies.
That time of year.
But they'll also give them a box lunch after the game, which I'm sure most of the players are familiar with anyway, a box lunch after a game. But that's a pretty nice deal.
Yeah.
And you're getting to play in a college stadium.
Yep. A lot of those guys won't get to.
Right. A lot of those guys may not have played on artificial turf. Ole Miss has artificial turf, although it's coming up after the games, and they're going back to natural turf for next season. It's going to be quite an experience for them. I know there's a lot of construction going on at Ole Miss. You know, they've got the pavilion going up right next door now, what used to be a parking lot.
Yep.
And they're tearing down the north end zone. That's already been taken out, I believe, the bleacher section in the north end zone. So, anyway, they're prepared for that. They're prepared for all the fans coming in for the football.
Yeah.
And I believe only the east and west sides will be open.
Okay.
I don't even know if the south end zone will be open with where the Ole Miss students usually sit and all the sky boxes are.
Okay.
But should be a nice experience.
Should be. Well, good deal. Well, Gene, I think we're about out of time for this inaugural episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. And if you missed any of it or just want to go back and watch it again later, you can watch the replay. Right now it's at djournal.com. And at some point we'll just move into the sports part of the website, but you can find it. Follow the show on Twitter at djournalpreps. You can follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Phelps. And if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke. So that's it. We'll be back, I guess, next Wednesday, Gene. And as this podcast goes on, we'll have other voices and faces in here. Gene's a busy guy. We might get Brandon Speck, Kedrick Story, John Davis, some of our people at the weekly papers that cover preps and do a really good job. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next week.